This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Erin Gray from Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Beautiful. The show is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and we do science fiction, horror, pop stuff, geek out as much as we can. We're certainly doing that right now here. It's the prequel of Armageddon, the big convention that's happening here in Melbourne Town, 18th and 19th of October. And we have with us the fabulous Judson Scott. I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
It is amazing.
It's wonderful to be here. I was here, 10 years ago, and then another 10 year prior to that. I did a series in the States called The Phoenix when I first started off. It was a sci-fi show. And I know it was seen here.
Yes.
Because a bunch of fans, but I think they were mostly U.S. fans, but there were a lot of Aussie fans as well. And they organized a big convention just for The Phoenix. I mean, this was in sort of when Star Trek was starting off in 80. It was when Brisbane had a World's Fair. Because I remember I went up, I think it was like 88.
Wow.
So a couple of years after the show was actually canceled. And I think they were organizing themselves to see if they could get a campaign to bring it back.
Very specialized type of thing.
And so I just remember being, usually when you go to conventions, there's like lots of other stars there and everybody's signing. And, the pressure's off. But this was just the Judson Scott. I don't know where the Ernie comes from. Take that out.
Judson Scott.
Yeah, Ernie's nothing. Yeah. That's all wrong.
That's all wrong.
All the stuff on Wikipedia and most of the stuff on IMDb is wrong.
Well, that actually
doesn't have any of my work. That's where they got it from. Yeah, but
that's where they get it.
If it's all filters down, and then another generation keeps saying. But that was my first time back in the 80s, whenever it was, for the Phoenix convention. And then Mission Impossible 2 decided, or Mission Impossible decided, the old TV series of Peter, to do a remake, and they shot it here in Australia in the mid-90s, and MGM with Dino De Laurentiis built 4 sound stages up in Brisbane and the Gold Coast.
Fabulous, yeah.
And Surfer's Paradise, I was going, wow, man, if I got that job, it's going to be great. So I did get it, and so spent a few months surfing and playing a bad guy on this.
Because you have, let's just explain, let's unpack it. You are the villain, let's say, face.
But the Phoenix wasn't. He was the Christ figure coming from another planet found in an archaeological dig in Peru.
It's all a matter of perspective.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I suppose, the feds didn't like him.
But you have played some iconic villain characters.
Wait a minute.
Bad boys, bad people. Do you mind? Do you like playing those sort of roles?
It's harder to make a, like, the roles that Robert Wagner had, just smiley, good-looking, nothing
smooth,
too. That's
smile.
The hardest stuff, I think, in the world.
I
think so. Because bad guys, you can the sky's the limit. All your research and all your, all the subtext that you put into your work. You come to the director and say, listen, this is why he does this. This is why I decided to cut her ear off before I made out with her. And then I call her mom. Yeah. I know it's on the script, but this is sort of what I'm, whatever. And they tend to believe it because it's bad guy's a lot more complex. I mean, just look at Ricardo Montalban in The Wrath of Khan. We worked really hard on that to give it some texture so it wasn't just chest beating and anger and Shatner.
And to be part of the Star Trek,
oh my God.
Trek world, universe, what was that like?
Well, it was amazing. And certainly in retrospect, it's one of the greatest things I did for myself.
Sorry.
Are we in the men's room? I'll be done. I'll be with you shortly. Uh-oh, wrong word. At the time, Paramount was just coming off that first Star Trek movie, which was not really much of...
It was a bit slow.
That's the word.
We all got excited because it was like, oh my God.
I know it.
They're back.
and it's and up on the
Trek,
big
screen. So you know.
I know, right? That was pretty, and we were, and
but the
I also.
One, Rafa Khan is the one.
So we didn't have a lot of oomph from the studio going, "Yeah, come on, let's do a sequel to it." We had a Twist Arms. Nicholas Meyer came in with this great script and he says, "Yeah, let me direct it." And that was, issues but it turned out to be fantastic. Ricardo and I and Mr. Meyer went to the side and said, "We want to have a relationship like a father and son. I don't know if you want to have that in the script or not," like it was in Space Seed. The original Joaquin was, I think, the son of Khan back, the original series. So we wanted to play that just so we had something to work off of instead of just standing there putting eels in people's ears and looking mean and angry. There's, you can almost kind of feel sorry for the fact that his wife was inadvertently killed by Shatner's actions, and and so it's my mother, and so I'm equally want to get revenge.
It's a wonderful story.
What
did you think of the more updated version of Star Trek with the Eric Banner character?
Well, I missed
that villainous.
I said, "Give me more of his scenes, please." In the middle of the movie, I usually cut back to him because I'm a big fan of his, and even from when he played one of the first ones I saw him in.
Chopper Reed,
who was a notorious criminal from the Maori. How do you pronounce it? Maori. Wasn't it the Maori? He was all tattooed.
No, he was just a Melbourne criminal.
Oh, okay. Well,
I used to go to a supermarket and he was there. He used to shop at the same supermarket.
Oh, wow.
He cut his ears off in jail, that one.
Yeah, yes, yeah. That's what I'm thinking of.
His funny little pointy ears. I mean, it was almost like Star Trek.
What
I was thinking, you've got
precursor.
Spock ears, and then I realized who it was, and it was kind of weird because he had the dark glasses on and he's big and he's like.
He's tattooed. Pretty big, right?
He's getting meat packs and putting them in his thing, and it was a bit scary.
Yeah.
Because he's a real murderer.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
But he became quite a symbol of.
Maybe that's what I saw. Maybe I actually saw a documentary on him.
You might have. But Eric Banner played him
in
Chopper.
Incredible.
That's how
I hope he won awards over here.
He was really interested.
Were there awards given to him for that?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then he went to Hollywood, lost weight.
I know. And really did some great stuff for Spielberg and that.
Yes,
that,
Munich.
Yeah, Munich. Oh, that was wonderful.
But let's look at your career.
Oh, forget about me.
No. I mean, what a career. Amazing.
Let's see. In The Wrath of Khan, at the time, you asked the question, did I know it was going to be this exciting? Well, I was starring in my own show. I was the only person in it with just nothing but headshots. So I was quite noticed on the street. Back in those days, there wasn't a lot of, obviously, no media.
Social media.
So whenever somebody was spotted, it was like, here's your chance to find out what it's really like.
Yeah.
Everybody knows everything about, from, how a pilot is made to what the proceeds are in the first weekend in the movie. So there was no magic, but you really could feel it back then. So when this movie came up, and it wasn't a starring role, my agents didn't really get me excited about it. But I was, because I was a Trekkie, but... Mm. But it was sort of like, we didn't even get you star billing or anything about it. That. I don't know, there used to be a bit of a controversy about why my name wasn't originally on the credits. That was my feeling, too, at the premiere, and I'm looking for my name in the credits, and they weren't there. But unbeknownst to me, my agents had inadvertently said yes to something. They should have said no. When Paramount said, well, if we can't give you billing above the credit, above the title... Can you want to just waive billing? I assume that one of my agents thought, well, that means somewhere down the way, but certainly not waive billing, like no billing at all. But that's in fact what it meant. So
now,
I think they've reinserted it somewhere in DVDs and stuff.
But that's
but for 20 years, it was always good for a long at a convention. I can waste 5 minutes telling that story about
it. Well, now that is cool because Johnny Depp and Tusk doesn't have his name. Okay.
I'm a good company.
So there you go.
Yeah.
You broke the mold. Pioneering. Once again, pioneering. So for yourself, I mean, you were in V as well. And, of course, Jane Badler lives here.
I know it.
Yeah.
I understand she married up, didn't she?
I don't know.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
Right, not sure.
But she doesn't eat any hamsters anymore. It's a relief.
No. Yeah. We had a real wonderful time working on that show.
Yeah, what was that?
Well, it was sort of a... I think NBC sort of took a silly approach to a campy kind of approach to... you know, it wasn't serious sci-fi.
Not
it was
like
for entertainment.
Not like the update version.
No, God, no. Beautifully photographed and everything.
Yeah.
This was just sort of just seeing what we could do back in those days. Mm-hmm. And with the ripping the skin off and all
amazing.
That. That became so expensive. And as the series goes longer into its run and over the years, they tend to spend less on it because they're already getting the revenue. So they start reinvesting the money on new stuff coming up. So they stopped doing this because it took so long.
Yeah.
Shame. So Jane, I don't know. Jane and I never did that before we jumped in bed together. Like, I'll show you mine if you show me yours. But she is just a great lady, wonderful actress.
She still does some stuff here and there. She's doing a sci-fi audio play.
Oh, no
kidding.
Coming
out next week called Night Terrace.
Do you think it'll be in New Zealand? Because I'll be...
It'll be online.
Okay, well, then I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Called Night Terrace. I'll write it on something.
I'll believe me, it's in my mind. I have it.
Night Terrace.
Right.
T-E-R-R-A-C-E. Like Night Terrace,
right,
you know, yeah.
Right.
Things.
she and, well, we just had fun. Mark Singer, who was sort of the lead good guy. And
dashing
right.
Type of character.
Just a genuine good guy. Let's see. When Merritt Buttrick, who was played the son of Shatner in The Wrath of Khan, he was, and I were on Next Generation. My agent said, oh, did you know Merritt was also in... I thought, oh, my goodness, this is going to be... they're going to write up something about The Wrath of Khan. And it's, anyway, the name of it was called Symbiosis. It was just about drug addicts.
So how much sci-fi had you been on?
A lot.
A lot.
I mean, from... even in my last 2 years... I was in the last 2 years of The X-Files.
Mm.
And I play Absalom. Yeah. An alien, but with a human... human visage. I always seem to be stepping into the shoes of someone from another planet, except like in Blade. Blade, I was a vampire, but
it's one of my favorites, actually.
The first Blade?
Yeah, the first Blade.
It looked good. It was directed by a guy that basically before that directed cartoons, and he was very sort of into comic books, and he's
right.
from England. And anyway, he was great.
Yeah, cool. Well, look, I think the fans are going to be really excited for having you here, Judson, because you've just got such a huge experience of so much wonderful stuff, sci-fi, TV, etc. What a career. Anything coming up that you can talk about?
I just bought a partner of mine bought the rights to The Phoenix. And
oh, good.
So I'm writing something along those lines to pitch to Warner's in the time coming up. I don't know how much I want to talk about that, but because there are copycats out there. But there are some exciting things.
Cool.
There was a show called The Powers of Matthew Starr for science fiction aficionados. Mm. It was right when The Phoenix was being filmed. There was a writer's strike. And it shut Hollywood down completely. All those studios that had scripts could go ahead and film them, but you couldn't hire anybody to write anything new. So there was... I was on ABC with The Phoenix, and we ran out of scripts, so we all had to stop, shut down. Here we are, 9 o'clock, Friday night. I'm in a starring show. And the writer's strike. Ooh, I love writers. I'm a writer now.
Yeah.
Stopped it. And... There was an NBC had. We've got a bunch of these, The Powers of Matthew Starr, I'm sure you don't have it over here. It was about kind of like a ripoff of The Phoenix, but this time I played the guy from the planet that the kid escapes to with the powers, and I'm supposed to grab him and take him back home.
I'm gonna look it up.
With Lou, he's a black guy, Lou Gossett Jr.
Wow.
I went to Italy for 10 years to work there. And be married, and nobody
never. Dario Argento?
No. Just a lot of kind of television miniseries stuff. At the time I was there, V was very big in Italy, and so I just did one cheesy movie after another.
Well, we love cheese here on Sci-Fi Screen. We do, especially if it's toasted. We love it, and we love the aliens, the villains, the people that you do. Fabulous. Thank you so much for speaking to us, Johnson.
Okay. Sci-Fi and Scream. Squeam. Enjoy.
Like
Squeam.
Like queasy.
Squeamy.
Squeamish.
Kind of squeamy.
Yeah.
Five.
Sci-Fi. Squeam.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream. Enjoy 94.9. This is Judson Scott, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream. Enjoy 94.9.
Beautiful. Great voice. I'm sure you've done radio, too.
Hello. Who is this? Is that you? If you're listening to me, you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Yeah.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.